Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, will join us to begin the 8 o'clock hour. Terry Crisp coming up at 8:30. So a lot still to come today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Call your shot Friday at 7:45 as well. So get those called shots into our text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe, we've already got a lot of response on our Love Week question of the week.
All right.
Your number one piece of advice for a long-lasting, healthy relationship. JD texts in, says, let the past lie in the past. The hardest thing to do in life is to go forward while looking backwards. It's like trying to drive a car while looking only into the rearview mirror. A little bit of illustration there. I like it, JD.
That was very good. Good point, and yes,
we've had a couple,
well stated.
We've had a couple to that regard of, hey, don't bring up things from the past that have gotten on your nerves. You've got to move forward. That's a great piece of advice. Had another person say, when you're arguing, everyone argues, but don't argue to win. So you can't be trying to get those jabs in there to win. And now Rex Road is smiling.
That's good advice. Can't say that I'm very good at that, but it's good advice.
I'm not very good at that either.
That's tough. That's hard.
I'm working on
it. It's hard to pull off. That's really good advice, though. Again.
You don't follow that advice on Twitter sometimes, Joe.
No.
I don't follow that advice ever.
On Twitter? No. Absolutely not. We'll continue to take your submissions all show long. Your best piece of advice for a long-lasting, healthy relationship. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 on our text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The best response will win a $1,000 gift card for Genesis Diamonds that we'll give away a little bit later in the show. So make sure you're tuned in for that. Joe, we've been handing out grades for the Tennessee Titans all week, and we've gone through a lot of position groups. We have not gone through, you know, Tannehill and Henry. I think we know what their grades would be at this point. They were very good. Both of them get A+. They were outstanding this year for the Tennessee Titans offensively. We've gone through the receivers and the tight ends. Both lines of scrimmage, the linebacking group, the secondary, and now today going through the special teams and the coaching. We'll begin on special teams. Let's start with just an overarching view, and then we'll break down a few players individually. What did you think of special teams as a whole? When you factor in the kicking game, field goals, punt team, I mean the coverage, what did you think of special teams as a whole for the Tennessee Titans this year?
So sometimes I rip, I guess, Pro Football Focus. Certainly, you know, it has its limitations, and it's very widely cited. So I'm going to go with something that I lean on and I think is absolutely fantastic and takes the entire season into account and analyzes it every possible angle you can analyze special teams. For people who don't know the name Rick Goslin, friend of mine who worked for a long time for the Dallas Morning News covering the Cowboys and then the NFL. Also, Rick Goslin from Michigan State.
Of course.
The Goose, the legend, and he still actually does this for Sports Illustrated now, does his special teams rankings. And, I mean, this isn't just like media, like the entire – I know that every team subscribes to what he does and takes it very seriously. So in those rankings – the Titans, honestly, I thought they were higher than I would have guessed. Where would you guess the Titans? This is like it's an overall ranking, a total score, taking everything into account. Where would you guess out of 32 they would rank?
23.
That's really good. 24. With a score of 424.5, which I know doesn't mean anything to anybody, but again, he explains it all. So check out Rick Goss's special teams rankings. I do lean on those. And again, like I think that's a little, to me, it was a really bad year for special teams. So let me ask you this. We are grading what? The overall individuals?
Well, I want to get your thoughts overall on special teams, and then I'm going to go through a couple of guys individually that we'll get to.
I mean, overall, I give it a D and D. I go D.
That may be the harshest grade you've given out all week.
Yeah.
I don't know. We did all give Fs to Clowney.
Yeah,
and Z's Joe's to Clowney.
And Z's to Beasley.
Yeah, I know he's Joe's Clowney. Yeah, he is. But I give him a bad grade.
So let's start individually with a guy that I had fired halfway through the season. And that is field goal kicker, place kicker, Steven Goskowski. As we know, off to a very rough start this year for the Tennessee Titans. He rebounded quite nicely in the second half of the season. Finishes the season 18 for 26 on his field goals, 46 for 48 on his extra points. So after a rough start to the season that had me at my wit's end with Steven Goskowski, he rebounds nicely. When you factor in the entire picture, Joe Rexrode, what sort of grade would you give Goskowski?
Yeah, I'd give him a – I mean, I'd give him a – I'm going to go D-plus because, again, you're coming in here and understanding that he had a rough last year, but also that he was hurt. I mean, you're expecting – like when they signed him, I was like, wow, this is a big signing. They actually upgraded because obviously Ryan Succop is done and, you know, he's on the downside and he probably won't have another great year, you know. So, of course, you upgrade with Steven Goskowski. And overall, I thought obviously he finished strong. And, you know, it's tough. You're giving someone a D-plus who won several games. But still, relative to expectations, he was well below.
I mean, you're talking about a guy, obviously, the Denver game to begin the season. He's 1-for-4, 1-for-2 with his extra points in that game. He's 0-for-2 on field goals against Houston, 1-for-2 with a chance to tie the game against Pittsburgh, 0-for-1 the next week against Cincinnati, 1-for-2 against Indy on Thursday night. And after that, he was perfect. I mean,
well, you missed Minnesota when he won. Yeah. He was 5-for-5, right?
Well, sure, but I'm just talking about like the struggles
yeah.
early on. But after that, I mean, he's literally perfect. All his extra points, all of his field goals made from the Baltimore game on. I mean, it's pretty incredible that the switch was apparently just flipped halfway through. And whatever he was going, because we talked about it before, like it seemed like a lot of kicks were going right, and then he was pushing a lot of kicks early on in the season. Apparently, he found an answer to that because not only was he making kicks down the stretch, but, I mean, there really weren't many close calls either. Like, he was kicking them pretty much down the middle. So, I guess, I don't know if it's a technical adjustment that he made or if he just was in a better position as he moved down the stretch, but some pretty obvious improvement for him down the stretch. I'll go D-plus as well. He was an F on the list for a long time for me and found a way to rebound in the second half of the season. He played very well in the second half of the season, of course. He can't wait until halfway through the season if you're a field goal kicker to start making kicks. But relative to your expectations, I will go D-plus.
Yeah, and I know some people say, wait a minute, this guy had all these games. He had a game winning kick in the Denver game that you mentioned, right?
Now.
But again, that's – yeah,
missed four kicks. Well, you don't need to have a game winning kick.
Right, and again, like you're expected to make those game winning kicks. Unless you, you know, hit a 59-yarder – with crazy wind, this is exactly what your job is. You line up and you kick the ball through the uprights. And again, Steven Goskowski, he is a – it's just like anything else. You raise the expectations to a certain point and you're graded on that curve. So it's a D-plus to me with some encouragement because, like you said, he seemed to figure it out. So
is that the route you go next year if you're the Titans? You bringing him back?
What's the better alternative?
I mean, Ryan Succop only signed a one-year deal in Tampa. Give him a call. See if he wants to come back. Super Bowl champion, Ryan Succop, by the way.
Super Bowl champion, Ryan Succop, who was unbelievable for them this year.
Joined Darren Donick and Chase yesterday, by the way.
If you can get him, did he say he'd come back?
I would have a hard time imagining Tampa Bay letting that guy walk out the door.
Yeah.
Based on the season he just had.
Well, according to Bruce Arians, everyone's going to come back.
Yeah,
they're not coming back.
Not and
they're, going, they're going for two. They're not trying to run it back.
There you go. Yeah, I just don't know who's better than Goskowski out there.
Yeah, I don't know either. Unless you get some young stud coming out of college, I don't know.
I mean, like Indy got Blankenship, and he was a little iffy.
He'll be fine.
Yeah, probably. But it's a tough one to find that guy. I'd say the way he finished the season, run it back with him.
So what about switching to the other part of the kicking game, Brett Kern, who I've widely considered to be the best player in the NFL, somewhat jokingly, somewhat not jokingly at times, throughout his tenure with the Titans. Only played in 13 games this past year. We saw when he was out how important Brett Kern is to the operation on special teams for the Titans. How would you go about grading Brett Kern this season?
Well, again, expectations super high for him. It's certainly not
very
his,
high.
Certainly not his fault that he got hurt. And I think that, I mean, he had some you know, whenever he has a punt that's not wow, you're like, whoa, what's going on? I'd give him a B minus, I guess. You know, it wasn't like his absolute best year. I think when you perform at such a high level, to me, even though expectations are high, it's hard to, like, how do you go below the B range? That's how I look at it.
Yeah, I'd give him a B. I thought he was good. I thought he had moments where he was great, and the placement of the ball was awesome. I also thought he had moments where you're kind of expecting that high-level kick for Brett Kern, and it barely is off, and maybe a ball trickles into the end zone that your hopes down on the two. I mean, again, the expectations for this guy are extraordinarily high just based on how good he's been for the Titans. But with that in mind, I would give him a B. The last part I want to grade, and it's tough to do one guy here because they rotated some people in, so I'll put it this way. The return game as a whole. So you're talking Khalif Raymond got some time there. Darrington Evans got some time there as well. When you look at the Titans and their return game, how would you go about grading that?
I'm trying to remember. I think they had a couple decent returns.
It wasn't many.
I'm trying to look here on Gosselin's rankings if he's got them in the. He does not have them among at the very worst. So that's
good.
Good. Yeah. D.
Yeah. I mean, how long has it been since the Titans had a legitimate playmaker back there? Like, you thought that's what Adoree Jackson was going to be. I'm trying to think of the last time the Titans had a return game that, like, anybody was scared of.
Pac-Man?
Maybe.
I mean, I'm being serious. That was, like, 15 years ago.
I mean, Mariani was pretty good at it, but it may be Pac-Man.
My favorite returner in Titans history, outside of D-Mace, Chris Carr. Carr in the 08 season was so solid. Every time he caught a punt, he would take it at least 10 yards, it felt like. He was great, and he only lasted 1 year. But ever since then, they've had kick returners take knees in the end zones for safeties. They've had...
Who was that, Darius Raynaud?
Darius Raynaud. It has been horrible for the last decade.
I wonder if Darrington Evans could be an answer at kick return moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly
saw him a little
got
bit
some
this
speed.
Year. Yeah, but then it also comes down to, yeah, I would think that they'd be fine using him in that role. Sometimes if a guy's going to have a significant role on offense, you don't want to do that. But I mean, Adoree had a couple moments, but then you add in the bad moments that are negative plays.
Like, holding on to the ball.
You can't, and just making bad decisions. He had one huge punt return at Jacksonville. Was it his rookie year?
Didn't he get called back for holding, though?
No, this one.
This one actually counted? Okay.
And was a big
because he had one for a touchdown I know got called back.
Yes.
But I think there's been multiple big returns that Adoree had that got called back.
Yeah.
But this one counted and was a big part of them winning. I think it was actually his rookie year. I think it was 17. But, yeah, regardless, it's not enough. And finally they had to bail on it. So that's something that could – I mean, because that's the thing. I mean, coverage is fine. You know, you want to be really good at place kicker, obviously. You know you have a great punter, but a little bit of difference making in the return game would go a long way.
And I realize, like, the kick return part of it in today's NFL is just different. Like, you're not going to find as many big plays in that part of it anymore. A lot of the balls are going out of the back of the end zone. If not, you've got directional kicks that just make it, by the time you get down there, it's hard to generate some great returns. But I still think there's room for improvement there in the punt return game. It's just got to get better. Like, it hasn't been dangerous for this team in a long time, and that's got to improve as they move forward here. And I don't know if Darrington Evans is that guy or not, but if he is, if you feel like he gives you your best chance, that's got to be what you do. And I wouldn't be that worried about the offensive part of it if I'm the Titans. You've got to find a difference maker there. It's been so long since they've had one.
So. Yeah. And then there's also, we didn't get into, you know, every year there's fakes and things like that.
Yeah.
Last year that was rough, 19. This year they
Logan Woodside.
They had some success this year.
Logan Woodside, great fake punt.
And they stopped at least one.
Yeah.
So it was better on that front. No more Brett Kern.
Double reverse.
Take your life into your hand. No more double reverse of Brett Kern.
When we come back, we will get into the coaching for the Tennessee Titans. How do we think the coaching staff did this year? Where does Mike Vrabel stand right now with Titans fans. We'll get to that coming up next. But I got to tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. And one of the things I love about betting on basketball is I'm always finding new player props or game props that I like. And what's cool about FanDuel Sportsbook is you can combine these props with other bets from the same game to score an even bigger payout. And it's called the same game parlay bet that you can only find on FanDuel. I've done that before. You can combine the money line, the over-under, the point spread, anything you want to in the same game. They've got that option for you on the FanDuel Sportsbook. And right now, new and existing users can get up to $25 back each day if your parlay falls one leg short with same game parlay insurance. You heard that right? Every single day. That's why I bet on FanDuel. It's so easy to use. They've got fast withdrawals that get your money to you in as little as 24 hours. So just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today to try a same game parlay and use promo code ROB. That's ROB at signup. So that's promo code is ROB. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max refund of $25. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, handing out grades for the Tennessee Titans. And we've gone through the position groups on the team. Joe, now time to go through the coaching staff and the grades that we would hand out. Let's start with the easy side, and that is offensively with Arthur Smith, obviously now the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, was the offensive coordinator with the Tennessee Titans. How would you go about grading Arthur Smith and the offensive staff for the Titans this season?
So we're doing OC and whole staff?
Sure. Got to be an A, right?
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out if I put a minus or a plus on the A. I wouldn't put a plus because obviously the playoff game. I'll give it an A minus. You know, playoff game puts the minus on it. That was not what you're looking for at the most important part of the season. But overall, tremendous. You know, the best offense a team called the Tennessee Titans has ever had.
Yeah, I mean, I would go A. I think the reason it's not an A-plus is the playoff game. I mean, you're talking about a 2,000-yard rusher, a quarterback that played, I think, the best season we've ever seen a quarterback play for the Tennessee Titans. You had a 1,000-yard receiver. You were 16 yards away from having another 1,000-yard receiver. I thought the staff, especially when you factor in the other side of the ball, which we'll get to here in just a second, I mean, there was pressure on them every week to perform because you knew you were going to have to put up a lot of points. I think that's got to be factored into the discussion as well. With that in mind, I'm going A for Arthur Smith. And now, you know, with Todd Downing coming in, that's a heck of a bar to live up to. But that's the bar that's been set by this offense.
I thought you were this tough grader, man.
I am.
I'm grading tougher than you today.
Oh, I took till Friday.
Do we have a full rundown? Porth hasn't been writing these down. He's not even listening to us right now.
I'm listening.
He wants you to write them down. I love how he waits.
Just multitasking.
Write them down, Porth.
Yeah, I want to know because I don't know that that's true. You've definitely been tougher than me on a few things.
Oh, overall, I think I've been tougher.
I think it's pretty close. Anyway.
Okay, so switch gears. Let's see how tough we can be here. Let's switch gears to the defensive side of the ball with, I guess, untitled defensive coordinator Shane Bowen, Mike Vrabel, and we'll get to Mike Vrabel overall here in a second, and the overall defensive staff. Now, I think most people are just going to automatically throw out F, and maybe that ends up being the grade. But you also have to factor in the personnel that they're working with as well. So with all of that in mind, how would you go about grading Shane Bowen and the Titans defensive staff here?
I'm going to go F minus, 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 and that should put me past you on the toughness scale. It's tough. It really is tough because how exactly are we looking at this? Like you said, they had personnel issues. They also had personnel non-issues that became issues. So how much of that is on coaching? That's something a lot of people brought up when Shane Bowen got the DC title is let's look at some of these guys who didn't perform like you thought. So is that on coaching? Is Shane Bowen – how do you grade Shane Bowen when – I think this is a big reason. I don't think Vrabel did this so our grades would be nicer, you know?
Probably not.
But the idea is, Shane Bowen doesn't get judged as the D coordinator because he didn't have the title, and he still was coaching outside linebackers, which will be different next year. All that said, I'd say a D. I'd go D. I mean, it's certainly below average, below expectation, and also some of the main pieces that you were supposed to be working with that were supposed to transform your defense were complete busts, and that's not, to me, on coaching. I don't look at Clowney or Beasley as any kind of a coaching issue.
No, I mean, I don't look at that as a coaching issue either, but I will say, when you factor in the entire picture, that side of the ball, I mean, it's just a train wreck. You're talking about the worst third down defense we've ever seen in the history of the league. You're talking about guys that we know, or at least we think we know, are good players. And Kevin Byard, you know, Rashawn Evans, I thought, took a major step back this season. When I factor all of these things in, I've got to go F. I mean, I do. And I realize the outside linebacker part of this, it's not really Shane Bowen's fault because, I mean, look what he had to work with. There wasn't a lot of weapons there. Harold Landry, I expected more for him. But when it's just Harold Landry out on an island, I mean, I don't know what the expectation should be for him at that point. So I have to go F just on how bad the defense was. I think John Robinson shares in that blame and in that grade when you're factoring it into this discussion. But what you mentioned with Byard being as bad as he was this year, really, I mean, we've gone through the defensive grades this year. Malcolm Butler, we thought, played really well. Other than that, I mean, Jeffrey Simmons had his moments this year. Other than that, there weren't very many bright spots at all defensively this season. I've got to go F with that in mind.
All right, I guess you are a tougher grader than me.
Well, it's just I'm not doing it to try to be, you know, a tougher grader on this part. It's just it goes back to a conversation we had all season long, and that is it feels like this season was largely a waste based on how bad the defense was. Like, what could they have finished in the regular season if the defense was at least average? Like, with that offense, I mean, you're not 11-5. You're 13-3, 14-2. Somewhere in that area.
No doubt. Now, you said John Robinson shares in that grade. Now, see, I'm grading it with him, not any factor, because to me, and I've said it over and over again, that is the bigger factor, is the composition of the players. Even though I understand, you know, obviously Dean Pease, you take a big step back. What's crazy, by the way, with Dean Pease, and I don't know how I stumbled across this this week, but looking back at when he left Baltimore – it was amazing how much people were just trashing him. I'd forgotten about that. And even players were like, you know, we'll finally have some freedom to make plays and all this stuff. I was like, wow, no kidding, you know. I mean, Dean Pease's defenses were sub-average statistically.
Yeah.
But in the key areas, points allowed, red zone, you know, that's where they made. And again, he manufactured sacks to make up for the personnel shortcomings. I still think the personnel shortcomings are at the top of the list of problems for the defense.
So with that in mind, let's switch gears to Mike Vrabel, the overall operation of this team. Now, you're talking about a guy that the year before, you're back in the AFC title game, you just won the division this year for the first time since 2008. So a lot of really good things happening with the Tennessee Titans. We've talked about how bad the defense is, but the Titans are still doing things now that they have not done in a long time around here. And yet, I get the sense from at least some of the Titans fan base that they're upset with Vrabel and the way that he's handled this past year. He feels like maybe this was a down year for Vrabel, a bad year for Mike Vrabel. And had he, I don't know if less stubborn is the right word, but had he handled the defensive part of this better, maybe the Titans are in a better position. So when you factor in the success that they've had, but also the defensive part of the ball, kind of the mood right now, the interesting mood, I think, from some of the Titans fan base on the job that Mike Vrabel did this year, what sort of a grade would you give Vrabel overall?
There's so much to go through here. Don't have time to go through all of it. But, you know, one thing that comes to mind real fast is last year would have been fascinating with Vrabel because he gets him the AFC Championship game, and it's like, okay, that's an A. That's an A+. It was also a year that he had a string of late-game things that were a bit – and mistakes that – at times cost them games. This year, I thought in game he was very good, except you think about that last game, the punt, the non-aggressive decision, and trusting your defense, which you should never trust this defense. That's something I have to take into account.
Well, not only the playoff game, but the week before going forward on 4th and 11.
You can't have both. You cannot rip both of those things. And yet, I heard people do it. How could you rip both those things? He was aggressive the week before. That's what you do. You don't trust your offense.
No, that's what I'm saying. Just the, the 1 week.
Sorry,
you
I didn't
go
mean
for
to
it.
Yell. Going after poor man.
I was like, what did I do over here?
But people do that, including someone we know well. But
it,
go ahead.
It made the playoff decision make less sense when the week before you go for it on 4th and 11.
Totally. That's a great point, Porth.
Thank you, Rob.
Yeah. Excellent. You and your hat, outstanding today. Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to jump all over you. For a moment there, I thought the glass, I was like, is that Jared in there? Because, of course, he screamed about both those things. Like, you can't scream about both of them. I had no problem in Houston. That's exactly what you do. Trust your offense. Good job, Porth. But then that bad, it was weak. It was weak at the end, and you don't think of Vrabel as weak.
No.
They went 11-5. They won the division. I think fans, to answer your question, we'll talk about this more next segment too, but I think the fact that he's a defensive guy and that side of the ball was so bad and the way he handled D coordinator are all parts of that. But his great – I mean, they won the division. Most people did not expect them to win the division. They went 11-5. I'm going to go B-.
Yeah, that's about where I was going to go with it. I mean, you can't – I don't think you can ignore the defensive part of this, not just from the production on the field, but with the way he decided to go about handling the coordinator position this year. I mean, I think that factors into it. But again, you're 11-5. You won the division for the first time since 2008. I think overall, Mike Vrabel has done a very good job with the Titans so far. So I will go B- this year. I will say, you know, if this Shane Bowen thing blows up in his face next year, then, I mean, we could be having a different discussion about the way things are heading and the decisions that Mike Vrabel has made. So that part's going to be obviously very, very key to what happens with him as they move forward and very key to what happens with the Titans next season. So let's ask that question to you. What do you think about Mike Vrabel and the job that he's done so far with the Titans? What did you think about the job Mike Vrabel did last season with the Titans? Let us know on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porter with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking about the Tennessee Titans, specifically Mike Vrabel, what do you think of the coaching job he did this past season for the Tennessee Titans? What grade would you give Mike Vrabel? Let us know on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Also, Call Your Shot Friday coming up here in about 12 minutes or so. So make sure you get your called shots, your bold predictions in the world of sports in there as well. Joe Rexroad, as we talk about Mike Vrabel and this conversation, I mentioned it a little bit in the last segment, but it does feel like based on the defensive part of this and the decision to go with Shane Bowen this year as, I guess, the untitled defensive coordinator, that has a lot of Titans fans upset with Mike Vrabel right now. And then you compound that with the decision to bring him back and to make him the titled defensive coordinator next year. Where do you think Vrabel sits with this fan base? Because it is interesting. You're having, you know, success as a franchise under his leadership that you haven't had in a long time around here. So that's a part of the discussion, but also the defensive side of the ball. When you raise the expectations like the Titans did by going to the AFC title game, sometimes this happens. And when you don't meet those expectations, things can change in a hurry. Where do you think Mike Vrabel sits right now with this Titans fan base?
So first of all, like internally, okay, from someone who's been part of that for a long time, to paraphrase something I've heard, basically like the Titans have been waiting for a long time for someone who brings everything he brings.
Yeah.
And, you know, so internally I think the view is he checks all the boxes, you know, schematically, motivationally, just – dealing with everything that you have to deal with in that job, which is more than probably maybe people realize at times. You know, like he's very highly thought of, and you know, by the players, and it's very important. So you can't argue with the success, you know, other than you wanted more. You wanted to take the next step. You raise the expectations. It's just like when we talk about the Predators. You do what they did in 2017. Now the discussion around everything changes. Same thing with the Titans when you get to the AFC title game. Now it's like, how do you get back? How do you get past that? So that's part of, I think, if you want to talk about the fan base, I mean, they didn't do it. They took a step back this year. They won the division, but they took a step back from the trajectory they were on last year once they switched to Tannehill. And, yeah, I mean, I just think that – I think the whole thing around Dean Pease, one, not deciding to go get someone, doing what happened with Bowen, which – whether Vrabel wants to acknowledge it or not, it was weird, and of course we're going to talk about it all year because normally teams have an offensive coordinator, a defensive coordinator. And then the way it worked out, and again, he's a defensive guy, so it's like, how is a defensive guy have a defense this bad? I think it was so it was just so bad that I think it actually kind of overshadowed the overall positive of the season. So, I still think that I think as time goes on from the Bowen decision, you know, like people stop being so mad.
Yeah.
You know, right? But certainly it is weird to see someone who's had this much success. I think he's tied with Jack Pardee as far as the franchise history, you know, so obviously we're going back to the entire franchise history in terms of best start, you know. I think he's 31-21 overall, and yet people seem really angry.
Yeah, I mean, the last image we have in our head is the 4th-and-2 that was not, I think we would all agree, not a good decision by Mike Vrabel on that front, especially when you talk about how aggressive you've been all season long with that offense. I mean, that was not a good decision by Mike Vrabel. The defensive part of this with Shane Bowen, that's obviously a part of this discussion as well. I thought he also did a lot of really good things this year. I mean, was it the Houston game where he just kept Jonathan Joseph on the field to save time with the too many men penalty? Like,
right.
Stuff like that.
He's done that a few times.
The last year in the playoffs with the punt stuff against Belichick, you know, pulling a Belichick against Belichick. I mean, he does things like that in game that make you thinking, wow, this guy's really smart. I mean, he has those moments. Now, he's also had some moments with in-game decisions late or either on fourth down, going back to last year as well, where you're like, huh. What were you thinking there? I mean, that's going to happen when you're a head coach. Not every decision that you make is going to be the right one all the time. Not every decision is going to work out the way that it works out. But I do think, like, you know, in game, Mike Vrabel did a pretty good job this year for the most part, outside of, you know, a couple calls towards the end of the season. I think he did a lot of really good things in that regard, took a jump in that regard this year.
One of my biggest pet peeves about coaches, and I know from the coaching perspective, it's like, okay, great, because you can all read the clock. But still, yes, anyone should be able to manage the clock. You can watch TV, and if you just watch this game enough, you can have a pretty good feel for how to manage the clock. And there's some coaches that are so bad at it.
Oh, yeah.
So bad at it. Vrabel's really good at it. And, I mean, he I feel like, almost always has the exact right touch because, you know, it gets a little dicey when it's like, okay, are you going to pop that timeout? Like, for example, Andy Reid did the other day,
yeah.
And it cost him. Are you going to pop that timeout? Because if they get it, they convert, now you might be in trouble. But I feel like he always has a really good feel for that. They've doubled up teams a lot, you know, with getting the score, getting the ball at the beginning of the second half, things like that. So, yeah, I mean, I think from an operational standpoint, he's been really, really good. Again, motivational, all that stuff. But you're right that the defense now, because it was so bad and because Bowen has been elevated after this bad year, it's people are going to be ready to pounce. And that's how it is in this league too. I mean, the highs and lows, but especially the highs, seem to not last that long.
Yeah. Well, I think Vrabel's a good coach. The question I have about him moving forward is how adaptable is he going to be in terms of his scheme, the way he wants to run things, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Like, if we get to a place where it doesn't work this year with Shane Bowen, like, how adaptable is he going to be after that? I mean, I do think the word stubborn has been thrown around by some fans when it comes to Mike Vrabel and the way that he's handled this situation with Shane Bowen. The question I have about him as he moves forward, I like a lot of what he does. Like you talked about, some of the in-game decisions. But how adaptable can he be moving forward? To me, that's the next big question to figure out with Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, and it's totally fair, and I think that you've got to be more and more willing. Sheil Kapadia yesterday made a great point. You know, Doug Peterson, right? Doug Peterson goes from the coaching star of the NFL, and he's out, and some of it is you have all the success, you lose a bunch of guys, you're not ready to replace them. You don't have good enough replacements. And I mean, Vrabel's going to run out of people that he's worked with extensively if he keeps winning, especially, and he stays as head coach of the NFL. I mean, you're going to have to go out and interview people and find different people. So that's one thing. And then to your point on the scheme, I mean, if it's a bad year this year, I mean, we know they're going to change personnel. There's going to be a lot of different personnel. I mean, at some point, it can't just be like John Robinson screwed up again,
yeah,
right? At some point, it's like, okay, are you doing everything to maximize your talent? Are you too married to your scheme? All that stuff. It's all going to be fair if it goes bad on defense this year.
Well, then on the other side of the ball, this is the second time in a row that you've promoted from within, and I think you understand it. Of course, I mean, you had great success, obviously, with Arthur Smith, and obviously, you want continuity there, but like there is a track record with Todd Downing that doesn't look all that great. And if the offense comes in this year and takes a big step back, I mean, people are going to criticize Vrabel for that decision too, to not, go outside the organization, maybe think outside the box and bring in somebody else. So that's not going to be talked about quite as much, obviously, as a defensive part of this, but that's a big story for next year's team. If the offense under Todd Downing takes a big step back, people are going to look at Mike Vrabel for that too.
Yeah, because a guy like Pep Hamilton has done really, really good things with quarterbacks and offenses, and he was out there. And, there are others too. So you're right. We're focused so much on Bowen, but it's also critical that you made a move that will continue this offense on the way it's going.
When we come back, it's time for Call Your Shot Friday. We need your bold predictions in the world of sports. It could be college basketball, the NHL, the NBA, whatever direction you want to take it, NFL free agency, all of it on the table at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The sports weekend has arrived. You know what that means.
Shoot your shot.
It's time for Call Your Shot Friday with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And it is time for Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road. We need your bold predictions in the world of sports. It could be the NHL. It could be the Predators. It could be NFL free agency. Any way you want to take it, trades maybe you predict as well. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Now, Call Your Shot Friday last week, obviously we had the Super Bowl to look at. Now that the game portion of football is over, you got to get a little bit more creative with it, with your called shots. Joe Rexrod, I don't think it was a great week for us last week in Call Your Shot Friday.
Yeah, there was a little bit of up and down, so I can go through them real quick.
Now, some
quick
of them still long-term shots, yeah, on the table.
Like mine, I got the Colts with Sam Darnold, yep, so sticking with that. I had Pat Mahomes. 4 touchdown passes, one of them will be underhanded. No. Tom Brady will throw 2 picks. No. I had Rene starts for the Preds, gets a W, and this flip-flops for a while. So I'm feeling all right about, yeah, that one. Didn't get a W, but I got the flip-flop for a while.
It's looking okay.
And then Clowney not back with the Titans. I'm feeling pretty good about that, but we'll see. Porthew had Brady a pick in the final 2 minutes on the tying/winning drive to seal it for the Chiefs. Shaq Barrett has his last sack with the Bucs and signs with the Titans.
We'll see. That one's still on the table. He did have a sack.
That would get people.
I'm 50% of the way there.
Yeah.
That would get people pretty excited. The anthem lasting more than 2 minutes.
It was well over.
Nice job.
Two and a half minutes.
Yeah.
Forsberg multi-point game for the Preds did not happen.
No.
I had one last night.
And then you said Ottawa, not Chicago, will be the worst team in the NHL.
I still stand by that.
Feeling good about that.
What about the Detroit Red Wings?
Probably 30th in the NHL.
All right.
It's close. So, Robbie, you went with Mike Evans having the most receiving yards of the game. No. Duchesne, another goal Friday.
No.
And then you've got the Titans with Gregory Rousseau. Yeah. So that we got to keep – that's the thing, man. I should, like –
separate them into categories.
Yeah, bold out these long-term ones. So, but anyway, you know, I mean, for Call Your Shot week, they're supposed to be, you know,
a little bit out there.
Shots.
A little bit bold.
They're supposed to be shots, so they were shots.
Exactly.
We just didn't hit many of them. That's okay.
You're not going to have a great hitting percentage in Call Your Shot Friday. That's okay. But let us know what your call shots are. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Ryan Porth. Call Your Shot Friday has become, it's like Porth's launching ground over here. He's always got like six, and then like halfway through the show, he'll add a couple more. Ends up with like a number that you can't even really keep track of anymore at this point. Ryan Porth, how many called shots do you have today?
I'm compiling the list now.
Oh, still going.
So come back to me.
Okay, Joe Rexrode, would you like to begin Call Your Shot Friday this time around?
I was going to let you do it.
Okay, fine. I'll go. Let's start with the Nashville Predators. I predict not only does Pekka Rinne start on Saturday for the Predators against the Red Wings, Pekka Rinne gets a shutout on Saturday against the Red Wings. I think the Red Wings are going through a stretch right now where they're just, I mean, they're struggling offensively. I really like the way Rinne is playing. I think he plays well enough on Saturday that the Predators come up with a shutout victory against Detroit. They improved to 7-8 on the season, and Rinne continues to be the starting goaltender as they move forward here. So a shutout performance for Pekka coming up tomorrow against the Detroit Red Wings. As far as NFL called shots are concerned, I said it earlier this week. I'm going to double down on it on Call Your Shot Friday. The next quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts will be Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz.
Okay.
Reuniting with Frank Reich in Indianapolis. He will be the quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. Those are my two called shots for the week. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see some movement on that very soon and Carson Wentz ends up in Indianapolis.
That's a pretty good outcome for them if they get it. I think
for the Colts or for the Titans?
Well, I think for the Colts.
Okay.
I mean, just because terrible offensive line injuries, I don't think he's toast. So I think you'd have more upside. Maybe not the, like, your floor is lower than with Philip Rivers, but I think your ceiling is higher.
Ryan Porth, have you got your list compiled?
I do.
Call Your Shot Friday.
I do.
All righty. I turn it over to you.
All right. Well, at the top of the list is one that you just stole, so I will repeat it.
Okay.
Pekka Rinne getting a shutout on Saturday night.
Wow.
Against the Wings. Sticking with the Preds, they will win at least one game in Dallas.
Okay.
Dallas,
so Monday and Tuesday coming up.
Dallas has not played well since they opened the season with four straight wins against the Preds and the Wings. So, and I also don't think the Preds are going to go winless in Dallas for the season. And Monday and Tuesday are the last two games in Dallas for the season.
Right.
So, Preds win at least one in Big D. I'm going to make a longer-term shot within the Central Division and say the Dallas Stars will miss the playoffs.
Ooh. Wow. No love for the Stars today.
I wasn't feeling good about them going into the season. They've had some drama.
Injuries.
The Central Division is pretty good. I think the Panthers are better than expected. And I'll
smoke, you know, the Lightning last night.
You know what? I'll make a similar prediction and say the Florida Panthers do make the playoffs and finish in the top three of the Central Division.
Wow. 5-2 winners last night for the Florida Panthers against Tampa Bay. Now, Steven Stamkos did not play, but still pretty impressive.
Joel Quenneville, I think, has figured it out with the Panthers.
So has to work on those challenges a little bit, but yeah.
Shorter term, Novak Djokovic will not win the Australian Open.
Okay.
He is the number one seed on the men's side. He will not win the Australian Open.
You've been watching that one closely today.
He did win me some money this morning.
There you go.
And Matt Ryan will be the next quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts.
Ooh, so you're going with Matt Ryan to Indy.
Because I think the Bears are going to be more desperate to get Wentz, so they give up more to get Wentz. And I think Chris Ballard plays it safe and goes Matt Ryan.
Okay. Who would you rather have, Carson Wentz or Matt Ryan?
Matt Ryan.
Okay.
So we got Darnold. So we've all made our picks there. We got Darnold here, Wentz with Robbie, Matt Ryan with Porth. different. All now they're going to all plausible choices.
And then Jimmy G's going to end up in Indy.
Your starting quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts, Jacob Eason, baby. Come on.
Kirk Cousins.
Oh, hey. That wouldn't be all that bad for him.
Joe Rexroad, your called shots for the week.
All right. Well, first of all, I'll go on the short term. The Red Wings beat the Preds in overtime. 3-on-3 overtime.
Okay.
2-1.
Low scoring affair.
In a 3-on-3. So the Preds fall to 6-8-1 Saturday.
Okay.
I've got Yves Pons not playing for the Vols. Again, with that troublesome knee, but the Vols winning at LSU anyway, and John Fulkerson actually scoring in double figures, which that is a shot nowadays because he doesn't take many shots and doesn't hit many shots, but they're going to get him going.
Any secret tomorrow. Conversations with Will Wade along the way?
Fulkerson will have a strong bleep game.
Okay.
That's what I'll tell you. Two longer shots, one. First of all, we've had some predictions on the Titans and their draft pick, so I'll put one down on that. I've got them taking Azeez Ojulari. Now,
okay.
If my guy Dane Brugler is right, that's he's someone right now going in the mid-teens. I think one way or another, that's who they get. I think he fits what they do and what they need the best of those guys.
So even if it takes trading up, John Robinson finds a way to get it done.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I think they're going to target him. Although, you could make the case. Let's lay off the Georgia guys for a while. But it's the same thing as Clemson.
Yeah.
You keep going to Georgia.
You'll eventually find somebody.
Keep going to Clemson. Yeah, you'll get good players. And my final shot, Marcus Mariota.
Oh.
2021 Chicago Bear.
Oh, man.
Get excited, Corey Curtis.
Not New England. He ends up in Chicago. I like it. As a starter?
As he should have been.
Is he going to start?
Well, I think he'll probably be in some sort of a
competition.
I don't know that he'll be absolutely. I don't know who the, I don't know exactly how
Nick
it's going to shake out. But, hey, Nick Foles is a good practice player and Super Bowl player, and not any other time.
Apparently so. Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Steve from the Borough text in. The Preds win Saturday night 4-1 with Matt Duchene and Ellie Tolvanen scoring in the game. So calling goals for Duchene and Tolvanen. Matt on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says Aaron Rodgers gets himself traded to Indianapolis and wins a second ring. So talking about some quarterback movement, Aaron Rodgers going to the Colts.
Please no.
You're trembling right now in your Packers gear, Robbie.
It ain't happening, man.
Yeah. I mean, I like the shot. That is a shot. It's just
no. I love the shot.
Yeah. I mean, that is taking a shot. It's just not going to happen. So
he's not going anywhere. Maybe that's my heart talking.
No, but it's not. I mean, it's pretty clear, isn't
yeah.
it?
Oh yeah. There. Yeah. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
But that was a conversation for about 36 hours.
Yeah. It's like I think all the quarterbacks now, because everyone's moving around, they want to at least have some kind of say. Like Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Like, by the way, I'm not very happy either. Everybody.
Yeah.
But he'll be back in Seattle.
Yeah. That's today's edition of Call Your Shot Friday. You can continue to submit your shots on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. All show long, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. When we come back, we'll be joined by Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter. We'll get into the latest with the Titans with him. Look ahead to free agency and the draft as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.